Welcome to Far Out with Faust. I'm Faust Chicho, and today I'm sitting here with an extraordinary human being. Lama Lanang Rinpoche is a spiritual teacher and a meditation master of the Nyingma lineage, which is the oldest Buddhist tradition. He has studied with and trained with several enlightened masters in Tibet of many different traditions. He embodies the wisdom of Buddhist teachings, and his life's mission is promoting global harmony and world peace through inner peace, which I think is just phenomenal. Welcome to the show, Lama. Thank you so much for being here, man. This is amazing.
Okay, me too. I'm very happy to be in with you on this moment.
Awesome. So let's jump right into it. I mean, let's get into a little bit of your background so people understand who you are and where you're coming from. You know, I understand, and I've only recently learned about Padmasambhava, and he was called the second Buddha. And, you know, I understand that he was crucial to establishing Buddhism in Tibet. And can you tell us about how that is part of your lineage?
Yes. Tibetan king invite Padmasambhava to Tibet, and and it early a century, and Buddha Dharma start, and also they build Sami Monastery. That's the first monastery in Tibet. So, and we call this four firsts, like a first town, first palace, first king, the first monastery. That was the first monastery establishing. So from and then later, all other different branches or different schools of Tibetan Buddha Dharma born from and this school. And this is the kind of the father or you see the parents of the Tibetan
right.
Buddhists.
Awesome. How exactly did you become Rinpoche? And were you recognized as the reincarnation of a spiritual master? Is that what that means?
You see, Rinpoche means first one. So you can call anybody your master. You can call reincarnated ones or somebody really training to become a master. You can call them Rinpoche, means a precious. But you don't call everybody as a Rinpoche. But this is just sort of polite kind of words for somebody. but for me, I was 9 years old. I was chosen by that crazy great master called Mahasiddhava Rinzen. So he sees the features. He thinks I'm going to benefit many people. So, and that's the reason I am here today. I'm talking to you.
Awesome. Well, I think he has good discernment, the crazy guy. That's awesome. So do you have awareness of, do you know like which spiritual masters you were in your past lives? Is that something that you come to awareness of?
No, because why we need to think about past? Past right. is already history.
Right.
It's very important. We can't think about future either because we don't know next hour.
Right.
It's only who you are, what you do. If you're special master, you have to master's work. What is special master's work is called three training wheels, which is means the wheel of meditation, the wheel of wisdom training to benefit the all parents ancient beings, the wheel of the great activity to benefit others. If you are you doing that, you are special master already. And it doesn't matter what you talk about history, then doesn't really work that way because you see in America don't have good history.
Yeah.
It's only a couple of hundred years old, but and this is a great country.
Yeah, very, very young country.
I always really saying to everybody, say, don't live in the past because already gone. Why we need the struggles there? We need this really live in the present moment. The person, the moment is the gift.
I agree. It is a gift. I believe that, and I teach my children that. I know this is a very complicated question, but I guess if you can sum it up, you know, what are Padmasambhava's core philosophy and teachings?
So one day the iron birds fly in the sky, and the stone bridges and the rivers. The east meets west. My teachings goes to the world. So, and nobody understands. They think it's some kind of
they just thought
iron birds, but in the early centuries. So he prophesies everything about the what's like the future and everything. So there's teachings for everybody.
What exactly is the land of Shambhala? And where is it geographically on Earth right now? And like, is it on this three-dimensional plane we live in, or is it, can you talk about that?
You see, and really that's really kind of not easy to explain. So because kind of relatively or the scientifically, but also the capacities of the mind, the developments of the meditation, you can be in a Shambhala anywhere in any time, you see. Also there have some people say Shambhala is kind of own world, different world, different dimension. One day we can kind of connected in there and kind of with others, and then sort of there's some things going to happen. And some people think is also on Earth, even though inside the Himalayas. So there's so many things that I think is a Shambhala to me. Any pure realm or any mandala is you can connect to anywhere, any time. Mm. And when you are a good meditator or understand that philosophy, there's no distance between you and Shambhala.
I see. So it's a state. It's everything. It's a state of being. There are people who believe it is a physical geographical location on Earth, but it's more a state of being that you can, you know, enter into, especially, you know, I'm also a daily meditator. So, I think I understand exactly what you're talking about, but I didn't realize that was also, you know, that Shambhala meant all those things. That's so cool. That's awesome to know.
Yeah, you can live in Shambhala anytime, anywhere, and all the time.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm gonna try harder to do that. So let me ask you. I imagine that you've seen some amazing things in Tibet and with the many amazing people you've studied with and trained under. So I was wondering, like, you know, what are some of the more amazing things that you've witnessed in your time with these enlightened masters? And you know, would you call it like superpowers? How would you, could you describe an encounter to?
I don't call the superpowers. I will call the natural gift. The natural gift is we all have. And which way you want to use your body, speech, and mind. We all have, doesn't matter man or woman, only the matter of your motivation and your joyful effort to you can develop in that level. You see, you want to evil, you have the seeds of the evil with you, with you. And you want to enlighten, and then also you have that gift. And what you want, you see many Tibetan great masters, they fly in the sky. And that's, just, you know, their gift. Everybody, if really practice this level, you can. And many great masters reach enlightenment. There's nothing left when they passed into the nirvana. Nothing left in their bodies. Mm-hmm. We call it rainbow body. And today, in that some masters, like that happens. And why I'm saying today is the material world in technology and scientific things take away from we are this natural gift. And that's why people's mind is more spending the television and mm-hmm. news and so they don't have a focus. So mm-hmm. that's the issues people have today, this world, you see? Mm-hmm. And otherwise, everybody has a gift. But you wanted to know anything like a sort of this natural gift.
That you maybe witnessed, you know, in your time.
I just talk about many, but one I can share with you is like my first teacher is called Mahasiddha, mm-hmm. or we call the crazy yogi. Well, now that in the Western is called crazy yogi, or we call Mahasiddha. So and he is a holy man. So my father was his assistant, like helping him. To people coming to see him and organize this. And one day, my father said, "That mother comes with a little child, like a little, maybe 8-9 years old girl. But she has a tumor in the stomach, was big and skinny. And then this master told the mother, say, lady, close your eyes, just cover your eyes and close your ears, walk away, leave your daughter. And mother did. Then and he said to my father, say, can you hold this girl? And my father was holding. Then he brings his rifle, his gun, and put into the girl's stomach, and he shot.
What?
He shot the girl. And that moment, my father thinking, how are you going to explain to the world that holy men killing this little girl? You know, my father was like, oh, no. Like,
yeah.
He's scared, no?
Yeah.
But then the holy man says, take this girl to put in the bed. And then my father said, okay, but she's dead. She's fell, you know, take her to the bed.
Yeah.
And a couple hours she wake up, throw up, diarrhea, and 1 week she recovered. And the holes in the clothes, but there's no holes in her body.
Wow. So
that's just only one. There's countless gifts he has, but just only one.
But you didn't see that, though. Your father saw that, right?
Yeah, but it's kind of same because my father told me, and my father don't really lies or anything. Just it's kind of myself. I see many other, but I thought maybe this is more something clear, and we know what it's guns, and everything. So. Another thing is one of my teachers, he was my astrologer teacher, and who was, when he passed away, in his body is nothing left, only hair and fingernails and toenails.
Wow. Wow. So he went the way of, I don't know if you saw Star Wars.
He write down, says, this year, this month, this day, this time, I'm going to die. You put it in a box, leave in 6 months. Then gathering and open, then maybe you can see something.
Wow.
Then they did that, and then when they opens, what the his brother don't want to do that because he said, "Oh, 6 months, I'm open going to be see his bugs falling in his mouth, nose, and I don't want to see this." But then everybody convinced to do it. Then 6 months later, they opens in the box has hair and nails, fingernails and toenails.
Awesome.
So we call the rainbow body.
Can you explain the rainbow body?
You know, something like that is called the rainbow body, but there's many different levels of rainbow bodies. But also, as somebody's finished the karma in this world, then they're enlightened, and the body, speech, and mind, in those ones can reach rainbow body.
I see. So it's the final stage before you begin again, I guess.
It's not a begin, but you accomplish all.
I see. So you've accomplished everything that you
and
set out.
Little world.
Right. That's awesome. So the America that had the world has right now, you know, is, it feels pretty lost to me, you know, in a lot of ways. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, what is the America that the world needs right now compared to what it's getting?
America is this beautiful, gigantic lion in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
You see, other animals, they can do nothing because the lions roar.
Mm-hmm.
All the animals afraid because America has all the military and warfare, everything so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But today what's really going on in America is I see the lion got the illness, which is a kind of cancer, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And the lion is sick. So you see, I don't think other countries do anything much, America, but America itself is going down.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because America is run by the two parties, you mm-hmm. see, the Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah.
And that is our government. Then you see, they always criticize each other. And they always fight. And they're against, they blame each other. You see,
nothing gets done. Yeah,
exactly. They waste the tax money. And mm-hmm. they waste everybody's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big family has parents. The parents always argue and fight. And that's really going in America right now. It's mm-hmm. they need to stop blame. They stop argue. Really what's needed is America needs healing. And push it away as Americans and what we have. And also work together for future generations.
And I know Buddhism believes in reincarnation. Can you explain the laws and mechanics of how that works?
That's really, I don't need explaining. So you can just click in the Google. There's many children, they remember the past lives, you know, and even the past, the parents and everybody. So when they're children, they become like 3 or 4 or 5 years old. They remember.
Mm.
They used to be in a scientific, people don't believe, but now any scientific person you ask, you say, you believe reincarnation, they will say yes. But they don't really practice of this philosophy of the cause and effect of the karma behind. Only they just sort of kind of they believe reincarnation. They know because there's very obvious and there's so many books and there's so many videos, so many children remember. So you see, in the reincarnation, it's like this. What kind of seeds you have? Do you mm-hmm. seeds of medicine? You put the ground that you have a medicine plant grows up. You have seeds of poison, only poison grows up. And then in order to look in ourselves, and if we doing something benefit for ourselves, to benefit for others with the loving kindness and compassion, that is definitely next life, you have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
But what you put in that brings, because in this world, we have so much selfish and self-centeredness and me.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings next life is more grasping, more selfish.
Right. I understand. Can you talk about what happens to beings when they die, and like kind of is there an understanding you have of the step-by-step process from death to rebirth, and can you explain what the bardos are?
In America has a very big problem issue because nobody like to talk about death and dying, and nobody don't like to talk about getting old. You see, everybody have to be fit and have to be young and, you know, so everybody have these ideas about death.
It's a problem. It's a big problem.
Yeah, that's why they have very difficult times.
Yeah.
But if you learn and study, there's no death. Death is liberation.
That's
and
right.
Death is also, it's a natural thing. We are born means we die.
That's right.
So if you live joyfully, you die peacefully. Mm-hmm. You live hard, not enjoy your life, you when die have difficult because I'm never enjoyed my mm-hmm. life. I didn't finish this, and
that's right.
Stuck.
And then you're going to be doing it all over again.
Yeah. If you want to me say something, I say enjoy life. Then you're going to die peacefully. Live joyfully, die peacefully. That's simple.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, I've been talking about it a lot on the podcast with people, and about how we have a completely misunderstanding of the death process, which is just another rebirth, you know. And so there's all this fear wrapped up around it, and we make all these decisions based on that fear. And I just think that one of the things that needs to change in this country, you know, and in most countries, is our understanding of death, because it impedes our lives, you know, by not having a greater understanding of this amazing gift that we have called life, you know. From a Buddhist standpoint, and I love this question, do aliens or extraterrestrials exist, and do they have an influence on human evolution?
If we exist, and definitely there are other lives and countries and in that another planet and another aliens definitely exist, because mm-hmm. Relatively, even though I have dream about another Earth mm-hmm. in right now, you and me talking in there.
Oh, yeah.
So exactly identical Earth.
Parallel reality.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Parallel. It's like a twin Earth, which is, you see, in that way already exists in my mind, in my dreams, mm-hmm. dream states. But in life, everything is a dream.
Yes.
And our past is no different than your last night's dream.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do nothing, you see. And our future is also dreaming.
Right, right. Because there's only now.
So in that point is this relatively or the dream world. Yes, mm-hmm. and there's many spirits in even though many realms and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that some of the spiritual masters we recognize were aliens?
I don't call them aliens, but there are reincarnations of enlightened beings, which is called the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas.
I see.
Because they are they already accomplished enlightened body, speech, and mind, but they want to benefit for own parents and ancient beings. That's why they're working in this world. Mm-hmm. But those ones, they don't say, oh, I am enlightened, I am special. No.
Right.
Because they don't need to say, because they don't have ego.
Right. What is your definition of enlightenment?
Already, I just told you that there have many levels of enlightenment.
Yeah.
So, but you see, some people has enlightened speech, because any words comes is a wisdom mm-hmm. and teaching. Some people has enlightened the mind. They can connect with the whole universe to benefiting all parents and human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And some masters have enlightened forms, and even though appears to many places at the same time.
Yeah. So it's like an intelligence. You know, people are like, well, that person's so smart, but they do certain things. And I'm like, that intelligence has so many manifestations. Some people have this amazing intelligence that they're really good and at some things, and then other things that, you know, they don't connect with as well. I feel like I feel like there's a connection to that, because some people are so enlightened, you know.
Yeah, It's sometimes the intelligence is the obstacle, you see, if you don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
But if you use the wisdom with compassion, then benefit for ourselves and others.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use your intelligence and wisdom with ignorance, only hurt others and hurt ourselves.
Yeah. We see a lot of that
you
going
just,
on.
Yeah, you can just see Mao Zedong, or you can see Adolf Hitler, and how many people die.
Yeah.
In the wars, Iraq war, how many people die? What benefit for Iraqi people or Americans? Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. It's all
for the intelligence, how we use the wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only with wrong use brings wrong energy. The negative brings the negative. The positive brings positive energy. In this world, everything is relative.
Right. I mean, intelligence can be manipulated as well, and wisdom cannot. Wisdom
exactly
stands on its own.
You have to, like, for example, in ordinary life, just like you and me, we talk. What? How do we use ordinary wisdom? Is we use the head to think, but we hard to feel what we can do and what we can accomplish, what's comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if we use our heart and head together, then I think life is good. Too much you use the head, then you're going lost.
That's right. It's a pathway. It's a pathway to misery. Too much up here and not enough down here. You know, and you spend too much time up here and you start to forget about this level of wisdom and intelligence, which is the more important of the two. You know. Who is the goddess Tara, and what is her connection to you and your teachings?
There's so many ways we can talk about Tara.
Yeah.
And Tara is feminine, we call feminine Buddha, mother of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
She's the form of Sambho Nikaya Buddha, feminine Buddha. So in connection to me is my first teacher. He told me, he said, just practice Tara and connect with Tara anywhere you go, anywhere you stay. And you don't need to worry nothing. And then also His Holiness Dr. Trungpa Rinpoche, he said, I ask what is best practice and what is can benefit myself or others I can do. And he said, oh, just do the Tara practice and Tara meditation. That's it. He said, that's it. You don't need. But also Tara is especially very important in this century. It's called the 21st century. It's called the feminine century.
Mm-hmm.
That means in the world we have many female presidents, female leaders, feminine energy rise. And in this time is very good to practice Tara and understand it's not like Tara, some kind of green lady, but understand this. You're connected with the energy anywhere you can use energy. You can stay with the mandala of the Tara. There on that.
You know, my spiritual practice really changed when I began to connect to Tara, to the earth and this for the feminine energy that is coming up. Out of this amazing planet we live on, and I feel is that kind of what you're is that similar to what you're saying? Is that another representation of Tara?
I often, like, one time this lady asked me, she said, Lama, how do you think about all many people have cancer and so many people dying with the cancer and these illnesses? And my answer is, I said, we are the cancer of the earth. And the earth is our home, our mother. And our home is polluted, then. And who's going to pollute it? Us.
That's right.
This is our home.
It's so powerful. And it's so amazing to hear someone like you speaking of what we call the divine feminine and its importance and how it's been rising and how it's going to continue to rise. And I believe the same thing, and you know, I believe the world needs it, you know, which is why, of course, it's happening. So it's so cool to hear you talking about it. you know. But let me. So my next question is about. Well, it's about ghosts. You know what we call ghosts here. And do you believe they exist? And are they stuck between dimensions? Is that what's happening with ghosts, from your perspective?
Our ghost does exist in with you and me and everyone. And then how we can see and how we can identify. And a nice person suddenly upset, they use weapons to killing somebody or beating somebody. That moment is where our demons.
Mm.
But in the spirit world, there's so many allures of the spirits. You mm-hmm. see, the spirits is in the air, spirits is in the fire, spirits is in the water, the spirit is in the earth. Even though you see in Native traditions, they're called the planar world, animal world, human world, mm-hmm. spirit world. So, and that's the way I would believe too, because. And how we be heavy and how we use the nature that makes us difference in the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And why weather changes, why things happening, because we destroyed the territory of the spirits, homes mm-hmm. of the spirits, because the, you see the, all the elements, the homes of the spirit.
From a Buddhist perspective, what is karma and how does this kind of cause and effect law of the universe work on, you know, for humanity? And of course we're subject to the laws of karma, right?
The karma, the seeds of the karma is our mind. The ground, the foundation of the karma is our mind. Hmm. It's our mind is a part of something as a virtuous things, then the good karma.
Right.
Anything rise with the selfishness, ignorance, jealousy, pride, and me, mm-hmm. me, me. All this is negative karma. So as you see, sometimes we sit in the sofa or your bed, you're thinking about, oh, I wish to somebody kill this politician, or I wish he died.
Yeah.
Actually, you're carrying bad karma.
Yeah.
Because you don't have guts, but you really want.
Mm-hmm.
And you do nothing but you care to bear karma, you see?
Yeah.
Sometimes even you're driving, you hurt maybe rabbit or birds or some animal in a road. You feel bad. You don't want to kill them.
Right. Is that, what's
that? That animal's karma to that moment to die, you see what I'm talking yeah. about? Only what kind of karma you're developing is you go in that direction.
Right. What, like, so, it, like, for example, If there's an accident, that's different, uh-huh. right? Than a premeditated, you know, if you're driving down the street and you hit a deer and you kill a deer, I mean, most people are going to feel bad, but that's a different kind of karma than if you go out and, you know, are just killing deer because you want to see them die, right?
Of course, yeah. yeah. But what I'm saying is, you go in that and hurt by a car to kill deer. You feel bad, even though maybe you can do prayers, you can
right.
really, somehow there's karma connected, but
right,
not
right.
heavy karma connected.
I see.
But you invest killing deers, you buy blood, you get gun, then you get a hunter license, so you may be going to sneak you, who knows, people do
right.
things weird. So you're going to really shooting this beautiful animal, never harms nobody, just eating the grass, look mm-hmm. in the deer's eyes. Then you just like cut the head and say, ah, trophy, and put in
right.
the wall. It's like what you're doing is like you somebody killed your family number and put in the wall, say, hey, this nice trophy.
Yeah.
To me, it's just when some people show me that, I will really feel sad. And one time this guy was hunter and he was showing me to his walls of all the trophies he killed.
Yeah.
And I was just crying and doing mantras.
Mm.
That's it. I didn't say, you know, bad either, because he was so excited.
Yeah.
I don't want him to feel bad. But, and I feel like, think about these beautiful animals died.
Yeah. And I, you know, I, I was raised in a culture, there was a lot of hunters, and, you know, it's a reflection of what's going on in them, you know, as much as it is what they're putting on the wall, you know, that's, mm-hmm. that's something that, they're filling a void, you know, that they don't realize they have. That's how I think about it. But I understand exactly what you're saying. So I understand there's so many prophecies from, Padmasambhava. What were some of his more famous prophecies? And is COVID-19, this virus that, you know, everything that's happening right now in the world, is it part of those prophecies? Is it like a purification of the planet?
If you really look at this COVID-19, you see that this illness don't take the size. Doesn't matter rich, it doesn't matter famous, doesn't matter poor. Everybody mm-hmm. get through same way. So this teaches impermanence. What's teaching mm-hmm. through this is, if you have abundance, I think it's very important to enjoy life, but share and do good things to benefit mm-hmm. something for future generations. And also, yeah. you don't have things. Also, you don't need to worry too much. Then you can see like, oh, wow. And so teaches us, everybody teaches us this impermanence.
Right.
So
right.
maybe you see, you're maybe richest person, but maybe you got die tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Before too late, it's very important to do something good, because we think of the one day I will do something. That is wasting energy and thinking.
That's right.
We have to start some kind of project to benefit future generations.
That's right. And then the act of starting, the act of doing, beginning that, creates a, I believe it creates a vortex. It creates this energy, you know, that the universe is waiting for you to do that, to do that thing that you love, you know. And when you do, all these different elements, you know, really kind of conspire to work with you and help you. And that's what people don't realize when they're putting it off for tomorrow. You know, even if you just got started today, you know, then tomorrow you're going to be that much further. It's so important, mm-hmm. I think, you know. Especially right now.
Exactly.
But so I know that we started to talk a little bit about this, but I want, you know, I definitely want to ask you what, you know, what you would say to America and our leaders, you know, as far as like fixing this country, and because it seems like, you know, more and more we're sinking into this duality and madness. And so how do we wake America up?
I think, as you know, I say something, and that's just in my voice, but I think that everybody have to wake up. It's enough is enough to say, no, I'm Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter your Republican, Democrat. This is one family. It's one country.
Mm.
If a Democrat people doing very well, good things, then benefit for future generations.
Right.
Republicans doing something good, then benefit for future generations. It's enough is enough. I say if you are as a politician, then you have responsibility of the country, cities, state where you belong to. You represents who you are as your look in your state, look in your city.
We the people have allowed these two parties to, you know, we've given away our power in a sense that, you know, we continue to allow them to fight and to make everything about whose fault is this and who's right and who's not, instead of why don't we make the improvements that we know we can make, readily make, you know, and put them in people's lives and stop making it a political debate. You know, I mean, some basic things, and this country isn't even the worst of it. You know, there are, yeah, that's another discussion, but thank you for your answer. It was very insightful. So I have a question for you, and I've always mm-hmm. been so curious about this, and I don't know if you can talk about it or not, but you know, it always struck me when I learned about how Tibet monks were setting themselves on fire in protest of, why were they doing that? Can you answer that?
You see, it's not just only Tibetans. There's many Falun Gong people as well. There's a lot of people, and worldwide we can talk about, and when the war in Vietnam, and there's a lot of this, but those people's motivation, I don't know the details behind, but the motivation is for world peace, for freedom, yeah, for Tibetan. And that's what they're calling, and they want to Dalai Lama come back to Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I think more than 150 people in died that way.
Wow.
And their voice you can't forget. And but you see, I can't say that is bad because their motivation is for world peace.
I ask this to everyone who beams into the podcast, and so I gotta ask you. But let's say you were leaving on a spaceship. And you bumped into a few aliens who were coming here to live among us, among us humans. What were three things, if you could pick three things, quick things, you would tell them that you, if they said, you know, how can we do this to the best of our ability? You know, and you're trying to make their life easier. What would you say to them?
I said, okay, first you behave nicely. And also you have to learn in the culture, learn in the language.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
simple.
With China and America kind of at odds right now, you know, I know that a lot of people believe like, okay, you know, the world wars are done. Do you think another world war is possible with China and America being in this kind of tense relationship?
I don't know because many years ago, people asked me, oh, you know, America dealing with Iran or North Korea. I said that's American problem feature is not North Korea or Iran, it's China. Because I know the Chinese government hate America. And also you see Hollywood movies in the movie theater, the videos they're selling in the Chinese street.
Mm-hmm.
No copies.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, I think as what I'm saying is there's a big problem right now in between China and America.
Yeah.
But I think the both leaders, they not stupid, so they are wise. I don't think there's no if you war, only lose situations, and only war brings war. War brings hatred. War brings famine. War mm-hmm. brings suffering. Anybody is war, they lose. So actually,
right.
They lose.
There are no winners.
So if you're smart leader, then don't war. But maybe one stupid one, maybe you never know, shooting nuclear or some kind of missile to somebody, and then maybe start a war. So I think it's a very difficult time in the world. And I wish America and China really need is to sit together on the table.
Yeah.
Communication.
I mean, we could do so much together, but my God.
Yeah, respect. And I think that's also America needs more wear mm-hmm. and also what the one America and also respect mutually. Mm-hmm. And they all sit together to a tolerance and communication and respect.
I agree.
That's right now they need.
My God. I mean, it's everything. How can you not?
They don't need the missiles. So.
No, they don't. I mean, they don't even need any more ways to make more money. They really just need to sit down and, mm-hmm. and communicate about how to bring the two countries together, you know, and the fruits of that labor will, you know.
Not just in the two countries, whole world.
Yeah.
So everybody's watching. So you see, I think it's very, very important to right now is need more wisely dealing with this and mm-hmm. wisely, respectfully, because everything is a relative. How you respect other, they're
right.
same way.
That's
it's
right.
like you see same things go. So I hope they have tolerance and communication and respect.
Me too. Man, me
to
too.
Talk.
It's just
And then I think it's going to change.
God, the president who could really accomplish that. I mean, I don't understand how that's not top of the list, you know? It's like, I mean, you're the leader of whether you're the leader of China, whether you stop competing and just start working together and watch the effect it will have on your people. I mean, that's what are leaders for. It's like, I don't, it's it amazes me how we elect the people we do.
Yeah, that's why you see the small way is you have family. So think about if my husband and wife have ego, like don't want to talk, then start problems. But if you listen and talk, then everybody has problems. There's ways to work on.
That's right.
So, say, okay, maybe you husband and wife driving, and maybe a wife always complains of your husband's driving, then wife driving. It's okay.
That's right.
Maybe something in the kitchen, maybe they have some problems then. Okay, you in the kitchen,
You
I
cook,
respect. You can,
yeah.
okay, today I'm going to cook, so you relax. Don't just come in the kitchen.
That's right.
It's
I
so
mean,
simple. What I'm saying is you need this humble and communication. And right now what's going on is ego. Like, I
that's
have the
right.
biggest bomb. I'm stronger than
That's right.
you. If you don't listen, I will fight with you.
It's all
That we don't
ego.
need it.
Yeah.
We really need it. Who has a bigger bomb? Who cares? Really, what the people need is right now peace, and just need a global harmony.
I agree. I agree. And you're absolutely
Okay.
right. It's the ego, yeah.
Yeah, you can just think
We're
about you go to the grocery stores, the sections of bread. I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want that. Oh, I'm gluten free. I need organic, everything. You see, you go to Yemen or Africa, they don't have bread.
My God, man. They don't have breath. I
They don't
mean,
have choice.
there's millions without like they don't some of them don't have electricity. They don't even have a toilet. They don't you know what I mean? Like we take so much for granted. And
We
you know, I
really
see
lucky. We are lucky to as Americans. That's why everybody want to come America, to come to America and want to live America, because these are the great countries. It's what really need is we respect and push headed.
Yeah, that's right. Respect and to share. Yeah. That sums it up, so well. It is what we need right now. That's why I'm talking to and why I'm excited to get this message out, Lama. And so I wanted to ask you if you could do a Tibetan throat chant that will kind of go out over this podcast and that, will benefit and bless sentient beings who are hearing it and anyone else.
I don't know because I didn't do a long time, so maybe
Okay, you're out of
not so
practice.
good. But I will do try. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much. Awesome. That was awesome. I'm going to like listen to that over and over. That was so great. Thank you so much, Lama. I appreciate it. We got through all my questions. I always ask my guests before they go, if you could share one bit of wisdom with the human race, what would it be?
If you have happiness in your heart and peace in your home, I say, wow, he's a successful man and successful woman. It's very important to respect in ourselves, not selfish way, but health-wise, thinking-wise, not a jealous and angry, because that only hurting ourselves. So what I want to say is, you have happiness in your heart, peace in your home, and you have peace with others, and do good thing to yourself, do good thing to others. That's it.
Yeah, That's a success story
Simple.
right there, if I ever heard
Exactly.
one.
If you have, I think you have that, definitely amazing person. You see, you're you're happy, you have peace. What you need, nothing.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
have
right.
Have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much, Lama. I appreciate it. Take
care.
You're
welcome.